Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this Friday night from the El Pacifico. Truth is our bitch. That's what we like to say. Welcome to our late-night thing. We're here till 1 o'clock in the a.m. on the Pacific Coast and 4 a.m. out on the East Coast. And all that other math can be done in between in what they call, and I call you this, those of you who are at this place, with great affection, fly over America, because I didn't fly over that part of America. I took a train across that part of America. What do you think about me?
I guess that's good.
Yes, no, that's...
Yeah, see what I'm saying? You guys, you don't even know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what fly over America is.
Yeah, I know you know what fly over America is, but I just said to you that I didn't fly over America.
You took a train over America.
Yeah, don't you understand the significance of that? The significance of that is that I, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn here.
No, no, not at all.
Well, no, I'm not, Margaret. What I'm trying to say is I'm just using as an example just one time in my lousy life, one time in my dirty, stinking life, where I said, I don't think I'm going to fly over. I think I'm going to...
train over.
Yeah, because that way you can see what's going on, man. And it was a lot of fun. It's the best trip I ever took. I'm glad I did it. I recommend more people do it. Honest to God, I do. You know, you can get on an airplane, you fly, you go, and you land. Now you're and you don't feel like you've done anything but get into this aluminium tube, and you sit there for 4 hours or 5 hours, and then you get out of the tube, and you're in another place with a different climate, different buildings, different people with their different accents. And
well, Phil, we're only talking about going from Los Angeles to New York. You're not going to China, you know?
Yeah, not like you're going to where they speak Gaelic.
To where they speak Gaelic, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's Ireland. Yeah.
It's Ireland, yeah. You didn't know that?
I didn't know where they speak Gaelic.
Yeah, they speak Gaelic in Ireland, although I don't think they speak Gaelic in Ireland anymore.
Well, it's a dead language. It really is.
No, and it's not a dead language. I mean, there's people that still maintain, try to keep these languages alive, Gaelic and some of these others. I think there's even a native Scottish language.
But you mean like Scotland?
Yeah.
Well, what are you talking about, a native Scottish language?
Well, there is. I think there's a native Scottish language.
Yeah, it stands to reason because when you're Scottish, you go nitter, nitter, you know, like that.
What did you just say? He didn't say the N-word, okay? He's trying to roll his R.
Roll his R? Can we? Let's get real. There's no Scottish language.
I think there is. Bud is giving an example here. Like the Scots, they talk like this and everything's with the tongue like that and they, you know.
Well, so what? So maybe that's just the way they learned how to speak English.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't learn how to speak English. There's nothing in the English language to make you roll R. Yeah, there's nothing in English that makes you go...
What is he saying?
I think he's making a point, albeit clumsily, that how come the Scottish people talk with all this stuff here and they're talking with... You know what I mean? You know?
What are you looking at me for, Margaret, like I just came off of, the flying saucer or something? You guys are not making any sense at all. They speak English in Scotland. They speak English in Ireland. I know there is Gaelic in Ireland. But I've never heard of any Scottish language. No Scottish language that I know of. And you're saying there must be a Scottish language. Why?
Because of the way they talk. Because of the way they talk. If they speak English, and yes, they do speak English, but why are they sitting over there going, here, you know, I'm talking like, well, that bull crap, you know, that Bonnie Bonnie Lass BS?
The Bonnie Bonnie Lass. Oh.
You know what I'm saying. Go ahead, call Frank. You always call Frank.
Well, I will call Frank to see what it is that...
I got a line here from... okay, here it is. Dan just says they speak Gaelic. Gaelic is Scottish. That's what they speak in
Gaelic.
In Scotland.
Yeah, no, they speak Scottish and Gaelic.
Where?
Gaelic.
No, Gaelic ain't a where, it's a language. And that's what they're speaking in Scotland, just like they're speaking it in Ireland.
No. Not buying it. No way.
All right, Bud, look, you brought up a good point. Doesn't mean you got to beat it into the ground to make it yours. I know you want to own this point, and I know that you want to make sure that we are thoroughly and completely developing it, and as we do, it's yours. Okay, but don't beat it into the ground so there's nothing left of it, man, so it looks just like a puddle of tomato bisque, okay?
But wait a minute. You're saying a Gaelic, Scotland is Gaelic. Why do they say never, never, never?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Now he's just being an exhibitionist.
I recognize there's a different accent. There's no question that the Irish accent and the Scottish accent are different. I'll tell you one thing right now. Scotland, after they had, there was a terrible event in Scotland that you guys remember. The terrorists tried to blow up the airport there. Was it Edinburgh?
Oh, yeah. That car drove right on the side of it.
Yeah, and they tried to blow it up. They interviewed a couple of people at the airport. One or two of them, I think, were baggage handlers. Maybe there was one or two others that were working at a ticket counter. But, man, I couldn't understand a thing the guy was saying. And he was just like, "Better teach it and give it a go to the laboratory and the word and bunny lass and the eagle like that." I was lost, man. And there's only one other country where they speak English that it's Scotland and Jamaica. Those two countries, they speak English. I can't forget it.
And yet you said your girlfriend at the time could understand.
Yeah. Yvonne could understand. Now, don't give me this bull crap because she was black.
Well, what else could it be, Phil?
I don't know. But don't give me this stuff. I think it's because she's used to listening to her. These were all her cousins. My girlfriend at the time was a young black lady named Yvonne. These were her cousins. And we went to Jamaica for a family reunion, okay? Now, all these cats are sitting around with them. Yeah, man, I'm going to go to Daly Fee and go down to Kingston and like that. I was lost, you know. She understood every word, you know.
Yeah, bitch, you automatically thought on account of she had black eardrums. There's no such thing as having black eardrums, man.
What do you mean black eardrums?
Well, why is she going to understand it?
I'm not saying she had black eardrums, but why did she understand?
I think I just told you, because she's used to listening to them. Her parents were from Jamaica. So she heard the Jamaican accent all through her life growing up. And she was able to negotiate a lot better than a guy like me. You want to talk about somebody having eardrum, you know, a colored ear? I got white eardrums. How about that? Or no, I got American eardrums.
What's she got?
She had American / Jamaican eardrums. Bud, you've got, what do you got? I don't know what eardrums you got, man.
Martian.
Yeah, I got Martian eardrums.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next time we have a visitor from Mars... So in any event, I couldn't... So there's only two countries in the world that speak English, and I can't understand hide nor hair, and those are the two. And the rest, I think I'm pretty good with. But man, when those Scottish guys get going with that Gaelic, oh, baby. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You, yes, you, and only you, well, actually anybody else that's listening... can have access to thousands of hours of our radio show. We have an archive that is the largest in the known world. If you like radio, if you like funny, forget about radio. If you like to laugh, if you feel that laughter can heal as we do, if you want to join our religion of Laughtronica, I am the Grand Way High Lama.
Now, this is something you announced today on Facebook, right?
Yeah, this trainer announced that he's the Way High Lama.
Exactly. I'm the Grand Way High Lama of the new religion of Laughtronica, and we are seeking the laugh, not L-A-U-G-H. That's laugh, but we seek the higher level of laugh, which is L-A-F-F. Okay?
Oh, God. What are you going, oh, God, can't you have a, you know, this is just, we're having some fun.
And so this religion, which, see, I'm reading a book on Scientology, and I'm reading how brilliant L. Ron Hubbard was. I mean, he truly... was a brilliant guy from this standpoint. He took Dianetics, which was the first book he wrote, and it was all about the mechanics of good mental health, and he decided, well, the Dianetics thing is fine, but it didn't really hit the mother load like I wanted it to, you know, which is the combination of money and my name on it. So that's when he came up with Scientology and turned it into a religion, and that's when the real money started to be made. Now, I'm not thinking I'm going to make any money, but I think it's about time we had a religion based on laughs, don't you?
Well, a lot of people are going to say...
Yeah, I was going to say, a lot of people think that religion is based on laughs. Isn't that... Wouldn't you agree with that, that religion's based on laughs?
No, I don't think a lot of religion's based on laughs. I think a lot of religion's based on a lot of stuff. I don't know of any where the actual...
Well, Phil, I'm kidding. I'm being sarcastic. I'm being facetious. God.
Yeah, I think he's just trying to be facetious.
Oh, okay. I know you're being facetious. I'm saying I'm being serious, okay? You're being facetious about a religion based on laughs, and I'm being serious about my laughter, okay?
Whatever.
So anyway, that's what we decided today. Nothing too heavy, just thought I'd let you know that. as we begin to, you know, formulate the liturgy of our religion. We will certainly be mailing out invitations to select few. I don't know. We'll give you the opportunity to join. And the dues will be very reasonable.
So that's how it's going to be played.
Maybe. Maybe it will. So that's going on. We also have another rehearsal under our belt of the one-man show. We have, as you know, the Bobby Dooley podcast out with part two of Joel McHale. We had another daily podcast out, episode 134. Today, we got two more podcasts that are planned. They're going to be a rockin' good time. And God knows what else as we progress here on toward the summer months. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. When we come back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show, we got some news on world of sports, because more and more, I'm getting interested in the world of sports in terms of how I can make my money there. What is all this stuff, bud? Well, I do know we have some controversy involving Tiger Woods and Serena Williams. Was she taking pictures of him while he was golfing, or was it some other private event? We'll see. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Here, man. Anyway, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. So Serena Williams busted taking pictures of Tiger Woods golfing. Didn't know that was against the rules, but tennis pro Serena Williams learned a valuable lesson today. Don't take pictures of Tiger Woods while he's trying to golf. The number one ranked tennis player was attending the Honda Classic in Florida as a spectator Friday when she tried to snap a quick picture of Tiger Woods with her phone. Well, guess what, man? You don't do that. She had her phone taken away from her.
Why?
Because you're not allowed to take pictures of Tiger Woods. I guess when he's golfing.
They can't do that legally, can they?
Well, I think they did. Unless somebody wants to file a massive lawsuit. I think it's... Well, number one, you know, picture-taking can be noisy. I don't think with the modern phone cameras, you know, with the kind of digital equipment we have now, you're not going to be making the noise. At least the average spectator is not going to be making the noise cameras used to make. I don't know about professional photographers. They're still probably using fairly traditional equipment, I would think. You know, do you know anything about that, Margaret?
Well, I know that a lot of the photographers now, you know, everything is motor drive. I don't know that they're noisy. I think they're probably a lot quieter than they used to be. I think that they still maintain a respectful distance and a respectful quiet for the golfers that are about to hit the tee or...
Tee off.
Or tee off, thank you. But I don't know. My brother golfed briefly on what they called the mini tour.
Oh, he did?
Yes, the mini tour. Do you know? You know more about it, don't you?
Well, the mini tour, I think, involves dates in Mexico, some of the lesser courses smaller courses in the United States. I think it's just a cut below.
Yes, it's not the PGA, is it?
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It's the mini tour. And Tiger, which was my brother's nickname, by the way, Tiger. Tiger what?
Hold on. Your brother's nickname was Tiger.
Yeah, that's coincidental, don't you think?
Well, no, I don't think. I think it's coincidental that Tiger Woods is named Tiger. My brother's been around longer than Tiger.
And his name was Tiger.
Yeah, his name was Tiger Kenny. That's my maiden name, Margaret Kenny. And if those of you that follow the mini tour, you may know the name Tiger Kenny. He was a fairly... I know he used to take my father out on the course and just give him a what-for beating. And my father insisted on betting.
So your brother would take your father for money, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was one way of coming home for vacation and getting some money. But I didn't like golf. And there was an incident...
There was an incident of what?
Yeah.
I got angry at Jason J. Delmonico. I had come in from golfing And this was when Frank and I had been married for a few years. He asked me to get into golf. Frank liked to golf.
Right.
So we went out golfing one afternoon, and we came back. I was very angry at, for some reason, Jason J. Delmonico had left his books, and he had left something laying in the living room, and I told him not to do it. So I took out this three-wood, I think. It was a three-wood. It was a wood, a driver. And I, for whatever reason, began to very quietly hit these books through the window in the living room. Broke the entire window, and the books were destroyed. And then I remember Jason J. coming downstairs with some game controllers, and I teed those up.
Boy, you were angry.
Yes, it was anger, but it was also frustration at not doing well. It was also practice, you know.
You took the club to him?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I teed these things up as if they were golf balls.
You know, I got to tell you, Margaret, and I don't mean to tell you your business.
Here we go.
No, no, not here we go, but I mean, you're the one that brought this up. I've noticed, and I've told you this, that you have, you talk about an anger problem. This is the same kid, your son, that you backhanded when he gave you some bullcrap one day at the dinner table after you were upset about some news event. I forget what it was, but I think it had something to do with the school violence.
Yes, this was at the spate of school violence, and I was very wound up by it, as a lot of people were. And when Jason said something, and he never should have opened his mouth, it was just a quick backhand.
So you backhanded this kid in the face because you were upset with something in the news having to school. I just think that personally that that is, it's out of control, you know.
Right. Are you done? Because I'd like to read this.
Yes, I'm done. I mean, are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you, Phil, but I've got things to do. I've got places to go and people to see, so.
Yeah, we got to get moving.
Oh, well, okay, I'm sorry. So you go right ahead, Margaret, and smack your son around and take a golf club to his personal effects. It's perfectly fine.
I don't smack my son around. I took a golf club to some garbage that he had brought.
Go ahead, read the thing.
This is terribly sad. Bonnie Franklin has died at the age of 69.
Who?
Bud, shut up.
I don't know who it is.
Who cares if you know? We're making an announcement here. Go ahead.
You're really asking for it, you know that.
I didn't know who it was.
One Day at a Time star Bonnie Franklin dies at age 69. Before Bonnie Franklin, who died Friday at the age of 69 of pancreatic cancer, and her hit Norman Lear sitcom One Day at a Time arrived on the scene, most television mothers were either this.
It's a little hard, right?
Yes.
Here, I'll do it. Would you get something to drink, Margaret? And
what do you mean by that?
I don't mean booze. Get some water or something. Oh. Before Bonnie Franklin, who died Friday at the age of 69 of pancreatic cancer, and her hit Norman Lear sitcom One Day at a Time arrived on the scene, most television mothers were either stay-at-home wives or they were working widows. But Franklin's Anne Romano was something new, a divorced mother of two raising two teenage daughters in a small urban apartment while struggling to relaunch her career and her love life. In a TV universe just beginning to take note of the real-world social changes happening beyond its screen, the sunny but sometimes hot-tempered Anne and the short, spunky redhead who played her were a breath of fresh air, if not sometimes hot. For nine CBS seasons, from 1975 to 1984, Franklin guided audiences through some of the hot-button issues of the day. Premarital sex, sexual harassment, child abandonment, and a show that mixed comedy and soap in equal measures. Boy, that was 9 years, man. That was a good long run. Franklin didn't get to sing much on One Day at a Time. A shame, because she garnered a Tony nomination for Applause, a musical adaptation of All About Eve. But she did get to provide parental guidance to two of TV's most fondly remembered teens, bad girl Julie Mackenzie Phillips and good girl Barbara Valerie Bertinelli.
That's the one that's on TV with the fat commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to call it a fat commercial? It's like a Jenny Craig thing, you know. Fat commercial.
Ain't she married to Eddie Van Halen?
Not anymore.
What did I do?
I didn't say you caused them to get divorced. It's just she's not married to him anymore.
But you got divorced from him when he lost that tongue thing, right?
She didn't divorce him because he had cancer of the tongue. They just got divorced. Now, well, there's the commercial music, so we have to take a break. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back right after these mild-mannered messages.
Ain't that the lady that was married to the judge?
Yes.
Thank God I was getting something to drink because I didn't hear any of that. If I'd heard what he said, I would twist his head off.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Hey, welcome back, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. I know it was a little emotional for Margaret. She was reading the story here, the Bonnie Franklin story about One Day at a Time, Bonnie Franklin dying at 69. And Pat Harrington is the name of the super, Margaret.
Pat Harrington, that's right. He was a scream. Yes, it was very emotional. Pat Harrington won a Golden Globe, am I right?
He did. He won a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
For the One Day at a Time show?
Can you tell? Bud, don't yell everything.
Yeah, Bud, what do you got to go for the One Day at a Time show?
I don't know.
Pat Harrington was one. I want to get Barvey. What is wrong with me today? I'm going to get Harvey Weierman on the line here and talk about this. Harvey, you're not really an entertainment attorney. You did know some of these people, right?
Yeah, you know, we had some good times back in the day, you know, and you were representing some of these people. I wasn't, I wasn't an entertainment lawyer, but I did do some, along with Frank, Margaret's husband, Frank Gray, we did some, we guided some people through some pretty rocky waters, but...
So who do you recall from the show?
Well, the guys, you know, there were a lot of people on this program that we think of very fondly, not only Bonnie Franklin, Phil, but... And not only Pat Harrington, but there was I loved Howard Hesseman was great. Howard Hesseman.
Howard Hesseman?
Is that what his name was? All right.
Well, are your glasses on?
Yes, my glasses are on. What's wrong?
Well, you say you knew the guy.
Yes, I knew him very well. I'm just trying to remember his name. There was Howard Hesseman. There was Richard Masser. Richard Masser.
Richard Major. Richard Major?
Well, I don't know. These are not the people that they were. Did they work on One Day at a Time?
Yes, Richard Major worked on One Day at a Time and Howard Hesseman, but... You said Howard Hesseman.
I said, what about the ladies? There was one named Shelley Fabares.
Shelley Fabre.
Look, and I knew these actors. Was she on the show?
Yes.
Well, the name that I remember was Shelley Fabares.
Shelley Fabares. How did you spell the first name?
S-H-E-L-L-E-Y.
That is Shelley.
S-H-E-L-L-E-Y is Shelley? That's she. S-H-E is what?
No, but you don't say...
S-H-E is what?
She.
L-L-E-Y is what?
Lee.
Shelley? Oh, you need help.
No, it's Shelley.
All right, well, you can say it's Shelley if you want to sound like you've got... If you want to sound like you have got a shunt in the side of your head to drain fluid, you go right ahead and say it that way. But I prefer to sound like a man who is out of surgery. The doctor has a 100% prognosis on my... Oh, forget it. What are you laughing at?
You, dude, I've never heard a guy take more time trying to explain how messed up somebody is than you. Like I've got a shunt in the side of my head to drain fluid.
That's exactly right.
Look, I don't know what you two jackballs are talking about, but I know that her name is Shelley Fabre, all right?
Jackball? Smile, when you say that.
Like, look, I don't blame Margaret for being frustrated. Shelley Fabre, then there was Nanette Fabre.
Was that a mother-daughter combo, or...
Was that a mother-daughter combo? No, they spell the last names differently.
Look, I know what you're thinking, Harvey. You've got a filthy pit of sewage for a brain. Okay?
Why did you say that?
Because I know what you mean when you say mother-daughter combo.
Well, it's a logical question.
What are you asking?
What am I asking?
When he said Shelley Fabre and Nanette Fabre, he says, is that a combo? Because he's thinking only one thing, bachelor party and convention.
I'm not thinking back. It's a logical question. They worked in Hollywood.
Oh, I see. So mother-daughter actresses.
Mother-father?
Mother-daughter actresses also team up for parties because they work in Hollywood?
Look, Phil, try to spare me and your audience. I'm sorry. I gotta go.
Well, Margaret, I guess you're not the only one.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
That's what you've been trying to tell me, what?
That there's a problem with the food in this town. There's a problem with the food west of downtown. I don't know what it is, but west of downtown, everyone I know has gas. Well, what are you looking at?
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Everybody I know west of downtown has gas. All right, to wrap up the story...
I don't appreciate being called stupid. I just want to go on the record as saying that.
That's fine. I don't appreciate being treated like I'm an idiot. Everybody west of downtown has gas.
Well, I'm telling you, you just heard him let one go, didn't you? Didn't you just hear Harvey Weierman push one out?
I heard him belch, if that's what you mean.
Yes.
So, Bonnie Franklin has passed on. Like many of the topical sitcoms of the 70s, this is a very good statement here, One Day at a Time has not aged well. But what was novel then is now either familiar or forgotten. In truth, in some quarters, it's only still discussed because of the real-world troubles that caused Phillips to be written out of the show twice. Still, she thought of Franklin shaking her red bob, scrunching her eyes, pursing her lips, or shouting out, "Julie!" can still bring a smile to people who grew up with her and Bertinelli, who gave Franklin one of her last roles in a guest shot in Hot in Cleveland. She made our TV days better, and for that, she'll always be remembered. So, Bonnie Franklin.
Hey, talk about Phillips.
Mackenzie Phillips got written out of the show a couple times, I guess, because she was, you know, I think she had some problems, man. I don't know what they were.
Yeah, I think that like drugs.
Well, you don't know if they were drugs.
I think they were drugs.
And you don't know either.
I'll bet you money they were. I'll bet you anything. I think it was drugs. I think this is a young woman that had some problems. And if she's the same kid I'm thinking of, whose father was John Phillips, am I right about that?
Yes.
Now, this is a story that I'm going to tell you something right now. It makes me sick to my stomach, if you want to get right down to it.
Wait a minute. We just got done celebrating the life of Bonnie Franklin. Now you are sick to your stomach about Mackenzie Phillips?
No, if the story that I heard about her growing up with John Phillips is true... it made me want to vomit. Okay, so...
Well, I don't know.
Justin Bieber tweets, "Worst birthday party after a confrontation with club security puts an end to his dreams of having a really cool bitchin' party at the nightclub what he wanted to have it at." Justin Bieber, as Harvey might say, may want to leave the circus to Britney Spears from now on after writing excitedly about his, quote, big night ahead, end of quote. Just hours ago, the newly 19-year-old star dejectedly tweeted, "Worst birthday." Well, I hardly think so.
Well, why do you say that?
Worst birthday? I mean, how could a guy, in any event, I mean, he's a big superstar. Maybe when he turned 10 or something, somebody gave him what? Maybe they just gave him a little wooden sailboat. Isn't that worse?
Not really. If the worst one, if there's no love...
Well, maybe there wasn't any love in this one, then. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Anyway, Bieber, an eyewitness source exclusively told E, because E was hanging around like the pain in the ass that they are and couldn't get into the party, so they started trailing after anybody that was coming out, and some poor guy who was actually just there to clean up all the platters that had all the cold cuts on them, they trailed after this guy, and they found out that Bieber did indeed hold a circus-themed birthday bash at London's Cirque du Soir last night with guests including British singer and the teen's new rumored flame, Ella Paige Roberts Clark. But a couple of hours ago, the insiders say a confrontation occurred between Bieber's entourage and club security, prompting Bieber's entire party to leave. The incident went down very quickly, and the birthday boy headed straight back to his hotel afterward, weeping and sobbing with his face buried in his New York Jets baseball cap. Twitter, meanwhile, is abuzz with disappointed fans using the hashtag Bieber's hates paparazzi, and we feel bad for Justin. He didn't get the birthday party that he wanted while we sit here lonely and it's raining outside. At least he got to get his shirtless celebration on Thursday night as he stripped not only his shirt off, but his pants right on down to a very ungodly jockstrap. Bieber's rep could not immediately be reached for comment because she was passed out dead drunk in the middle.
Don't take that from my hand.
You are lying about... Well, you dirty liar.
Of course I'm kidding.
You didn't say you're kidding.
I'm just reading the story so it'll be more interesting. Okay?
Phil, don't you think Hollywood is interesting enough?
No, I don't. Anyway, Justin Bieber, it sucked. It's bad, man. It's bad. And it's getting worse all the time. Look, if you're going to have stars, if you're going to have people that we enjoy, because we like to see them in our magazines, we like to see them on our television, we like to see them in our music videos, if you insist, you nightclubs out there, on having a rep, then you better start treating some of these people better. Don't get into confrontations with their entourage unless it redounds to the benefit of both. In other words, if Bieber leaves and he's all pissed off, but really behind the scenes, he's, hey, good one, and you guys look great. I don't even name, the name of this club is what, Cirque du Soir? Now everybody thinks your club is a toilet bowl. Good job.
Yeah, you think to treat people bad.
Exactly. Am I going to go to that nightclub when I go to London? No, because I know you guys are the ones that made Justin Bieber feel all bad. And I'm not making fun of the kid. He's entitled to be a kid. He's entitled to act like a kid. He's entitled to act like a kid with a lot of money. What you people at the club do, whatever the hell need to do, is start getting your head and your ass wired together and start treating these people with deference, even though they may be vomiting in the middle of the club and dance floor.
Yay!
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break, and we may not be back, given the first 45 minutes of this soiree tonight. No, I'm kidding. We will be back. No, maybe not. Well, no. No, we won't be back. Yes, we will. You know what?
Truth,
I don't know. I haven't decided.
Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We won't. We will.
The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line is Chris Norton from the Rusty Pelican in Redondo Beach. We're going to talk with Chris in just a moment. But I want to remind you that online at philhenryshow.com, a backstage pass available, as well as a few other things like our online store. So if you want to get some Phil Hendry Show merch, which includes baseball caps, T-shirts, we have our Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, which I'm wearing tonight here on Phil TV and HD. On the back of the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodie, you will see the words, "We want to put our meat in your mouth," which is a steakhouse talk. That's nothing more. Ted wants to be clear on that. And, of course, we have a coffee mugs, keychains, all kinds of tchotchke stuff, all kinds of cool stuff. And all of our legacy CDs are available there as well, plus the brand-new downloads we have, Best of Bobby Dooley, Best of Ted Bell. So head on over to our online store at philhenryshow.com. Chris Norton on the line. Chris, the reason why we got you on the phone, first off, I want to say good evening to you.
Good evening, Phil.
And, Chris, you're a telemarketer in Redondo Beach?
I do still do telemarketing, yeah.
And what else do you do?
I'm trying to develop my own entertainment company. It's called No One Explodes, and it's going to be on the cutting edge of adultainment, and it's going to have a very sussy, sort of what we're looking for right now is kind of a sussy edge to it.
All right. I wanted to ask you about maybe your youth. I was sitting here talking to Dan, and I was talking to my audience off the air, my Phil TV audience. My brother, when he was a young man, 15, 16, I think he might even have been younger. No, I think he was like 15. He got involved intimately with a woman in her 20s.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember, nor was I told, much more than that. I was told this by my folks, my mom, I think. But there wasn't any, I didn't learn of any repercussions.
I didn't learn of any you know, confrontation. I did hear something along the lines that my dad confronted this woman somehow or otherwise said something to her, but I'm not exactly sure. Now, you know, you are very, very upfront and honest about your sex life. Have you or did you, when you were at that age, were you involved with a woman much older?
Well, Miss Murray, you have to sort of understand that, you know, I am very good looking, and a lot of women are very attracted to me because of the sexual energy that I do put out. So if you have the sexual energy like I done, then your sex is going to ooze out, or it's going to be out there, you know. And so I guess to answer your question, you know, yeah, my sex was very much in, you know, evidence at that age.
But the question, Chris, this is Margaret Gray, Chris.
Yes, Ms. Gray.
The question is, were you involved with a woman at that age?
Well, I think I'm kind of trying to, you know, sort of delicately talk about it. You know, I was. I mean, even when you're 15, you know, your sex is going to be evident. So the sex that you put out.
Yeah, I got that. So are you saying that's a yes or no?
No, that's a qualified yes. I mean, if your sex is so strong, as my sex was, then your sexuality and your sensuality is going to be. And I had a lot of sex. No question I had sex.
Okay, so you got involved with women at a young age. How old were you?
Well, when you say I got involved with women, I had sex. I had a strong sexuality. And, yeah, it was a feminine, very feminine woman. I mean, it was a feminine person. And
well, how old were you?
I was 15.
You were 15?
Yes, sir.
And this was a woman that your parents confronted?
My father was old-fashioned. My mother's old-fashioned, too. That's why I eventually had to wind up leaving our house, because I was trying to get Norton's Blows going, and I was also screening a lot of my adult films. I was trying to catalog my adult films, and my parents wouldn't let me catalog them in the living room. I was trying to watch them there, and so I decided I was just going to leave. But my relationship with this person.
Well, was she married? Was she single?
When you say she, what do you mean?
We're talking about the woman that you said you had sex with.
I had sex with a feminine. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether it's a guy or a woman. You know, it just shows the sex that I had. You see? And
wait a minute. Are you saying it was a guy?
Are you saying that was a man?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first one of them was a man, yeah. When I was, there were a lot of men involved.
But what are you talking about? That's not no lady.
It doesn't make any difference, man. It doesn't make any difference. You guys are way behind the ball on this one, man. It's just you're talking about. Mr. Henry is asking me about my sex. Is that right, Mr. Henry?
I was asking you, had you had relations with a woman when you were an underage, when you were a minor? And you said to me you had relations with a... It sounded to me like he said woman.
Well, you said a feminine person.
Yeah, he was very feminine.
How many...
Dude, you're telling me you had sex with a guy? How many guys?
Hey, man, why don't you shut up? You know, I'm not even talking to you.
All right, watch it.
I don't need to hit this guy. You know, hey, man, I'm talking about, Mr. Henry asked me about my sex, okay?
Yeah, I know about your sex. You're talking about it. Mr. Henry asked about whether you had sex with a lady, and you said a guy.
No, Mr. Henry's asked me about my sex, and I said I had sexuality and sensuality. And I said, yeah, I had sex. And then he says, well, who? And I said, well, I had sex with a femininity. You know?
You said you had sex with somebody. These were men that you had sex with.
Yeah, but it doesn't. What I'm trying to say is it don't matter.
Yeah, it matters. It matters a lot. If you're going to say that you had sex with a lady, but you didn't.
Are you homosexual?
No, man, I'm not a homosexual. That's a misunderstanding a lot of people have. No, I'm not a homosexual. No, I'm not a homosexual. That's a misunderstanding. See, when you're having sex... And,
why is that a misunderstanding? All right, so when you were underage, you had sex with guys?
I had a lot of sex with women. I had a lot of sex with women, okay? But yeah, I had sex with a few guys. And you're talking about when I was 15?
Yes, so when you were 15, you had sex with men.
Yes, but the, then after that, I decided to switch over. And
yeah, right. Yeah, you probably still have sex with guys.
You know what, man? I would invite you to come over to my crib anytime you want, Dickmans. And you can bring your camera and you can videotape all that goes down. And I'll tell you right now, I assess probably about, you know, 7-8 times a day. It's hard to explain this, Mr. Henry.
Well, I wanted to find out what your parents did, how they reacted, what did they say, how did they confront this person? Did anybody confront this adult man you were having sex with?
He was an adult. I thought you were asking me, did I have sex? Right?
I asked you if you had sex with a woman older than you.
I said I had sex with a feminine guy older than me.
How old was he?
16. See what happened?
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
You need a producer. You really do need a producer because I don't think that...
You're probably right.
That's talking about having sex with a guy.
I had... Yeah, when I was 15, he was 6. It was Lance Germain.
Phil Henry.